This week on Terp Weekly Edition, Maryland students who resist the temptation to drink alcohol. Time to fill out your brackets, March Madness is upon us. And sports bloggers invade College Park.
This is Terp Weekly Edition, a student-produced weekly radio news magazine from the Philip Merrill College of Journalism at the University of Maryland, College Park. Terp Weekly Edition is presented in cooperation with 88.1 FM, WMUC Radio.
I'm Brian Hoffman.
And I'm Kenny Gartner. Hazing on college campuses always seems to be a hot topic. Seven University of Maryland sorority sisters from Zeta Phi Beta were faced with charges of hazing earlier this month. Terp Weekly Edition's Devin Miller met with the Brothers of Phi Sigma Kappa. The fraternity was kicked off of campus in 2002, but now they're back with a new group of young men. Rechartered and ready to show the campus, they have a whole new philosophy on what it means to be in a frat.
Promotion of brotherhood, stimulation of scholarship, and the development of character.
Those are the principles of Phi Sigma Kappa, or PSK. PSK was the first fraternity on campus and was founded in 1897. The group was kicked off campus in 2002 because of a hazing incident. 6 years later, a new group of guys wanted to bring the frat back, and they finally did. Recruitment chairman Andrew Roberts says it wasn't easy, but he's happy to be an official brother.
It's a really good feeling. You know, I'm just kind of relieved that the whole process is over with because we went put a lot of work into it and just finally glad to see our accomplishment and hard work paid off.
Philanthropy chair Dom Sircone has been working to get PSK back on campus since his first year at Maryland in 2008.
A couple of friends had already joined that I knew freshman year, so they kind of got me involved. And I thought it'd be a good opportunity. I didn't realize it'd be as much work as it was, but paid off in the end.
Sircone wants to get rid of PSK's old reputation caused by the hazing incident.
I mean, obviously that still, I guess, hangs over the chapter now, but I think as like a new group of guys, we kind of create a new image for ourselves and try to move past that.
If you told Roberts before he came to college that he'd be in a frat, he probably wouldn't believe you.
Actually, I didn't see myself as a frat guy. I decided to join, you know, a bunch of my friends were already in it, and they kept talking to me and trying to get me to join, and they finally convinced me to join. So I guess what I'm really trying to get out of it is just the bonding with them that all have, the brotherhood, and I mean, everything we do together, we have a fun time doing.
The fraternity has big plans for this semester. PSK has 46 members, but wants that number to grow.
Right now, we just want to be more well-known on campus, you know, more philanthropy, more social events, stuff like that. Our next big goal is probably going to be getting a house somewhere, hopefully on Frat Row if one opens up, but otherwise just a chapter house somewhere. But right now, we need more people so we can fill that house.
PSK is looking forward to its first official pledge class in the fall. For Terp Weekly Edition, I'm Devin Miller.
Phi Sigma Kappa celebrated its 138th anniversary on March 15th, National Founders Day.
Excuse me, sir, is this the Delta House?
Sure. Come on in.
It's March, which means celebrations for spring break, St. Patrick's Day, and March Madness. For some students, celebrating includes knocking back a few drinks with friends. But what about those students that have a good time without drinking alcohol? Emily Jacobs tells us why these students are refraining from having a drink and what they do to have a good time instead.
For many University of Maryland students, drinking alcohol is just a part of college life. From tailgating, to house parties, to going to one of the bars in downtown College Park, a large number of students are spending their free time hanging out with friends and drinking. But what about students who don't drink? Kyle Harlow, a senior accounting major, says he doesn't drink simply because he doesn't want to.
I guess I just never really got into it. I never really went to that many parties and stuff like that. Never found the need for it, I guess.
Harlow, whose friends often pressure him to drink, says he has seen the repercussions of drinking and wants to stay away.
Because they act pretty stupid, and then you just see the ramifications of what happens after they drink, the things they do.
Similar to Harlow, James Hahn, a 20-year-old junior communications major, says he still has a good time, but refrains from consuming alcohol for religious reasons.
I am Christian, and being a Christian, I want to honor God. And one way I can honor God is abiding by the law, because we live in America, and the law is, in order to consume or purchase alcohol, you have to be 21. So I abide by that.
Han, who is an active member in his church, says he forms close relationship with his friends through other activities besides drinking.
Sports is one way I can bond with my friends. You know, meeting people at church, being a Christian is our bond.
Han added that not drinking enriches his relationship with God and inspires him to live well in all other areas of life as well.
I want to keep my mind sober and want to honor God by keeping a sober mind and body. Not only through abiding by the law, but also by, you know, eating well, taking care of my body, sleeping well, doing all that, trying to be in tip-top shape.
For Terp Weekly Edition, I'm Emily Jacobs.
To receive information and weekly updates on alcohol-free events at Maryland, sign up for the Sober Terps listserv.
I'm nice right now. I feel good. If you have a drink, would you please put it in the air? That party last night was awfully crazy. I wish we taped it.
It's tourney time. We go around College Park to see what students will be up to. And writers from your favorite sports blogs meet to talk about the state of journalism. I'm Brian Hoffman. The NCAA tournament kicks off this week, and I wanted to find out if anybody will play hooky just to watch. They are March Madness memories we won't soon forget.
The Drew for the win! Good! Oh! Drew did it! Oh! My goodness!
3 seconds to go.
Yes! Oh my goodness!
So why miss them? Class? Work? Eh? Maybe? Most years, it's everyone's two favorite sick days, Thursday and Friday of the NCAA tournament. But with the Terps noticeably absent from this season's field, some students say they have less interest than usual in the big dance.
If Maryland was in the NCAA tournament, I would probably skip class to watch the game. Because they're not in the tournament, I mean, I can just go to class and then go back, see like what one or two games that I missed, and then watch all the rest of the games after that.
It would be one thing if Maryland were in. If Maryland were in, yeah, I'd skip class for that. But so long as it's just other teams, I'll skip work, but classes are going a bit too far for me.
Others already have their plans set in stone.
We all just meet up and we'll go. Maybe sometimes we'll go to Cornerstone or Bentley's and watch it there, but I mean, that's all I can really... That's,
so have you ever skipped class to
yeah. I mean, skipping class, I don't think is that big of a deal, depending on the class, so...
And so you don't feel bad about it?
No.
Some university professors are basketball fans, too.
When Maryland was in the tournament, and I was teaching on a Thursday, in order to prevent students from missing class, I allowed to the students to keep the game on their computers, and to report to the rest of the class what the score was.
But will it be any different once we all enter the real world?
As I reached for the door, he said, "I'm out of here at 4:17. And I said, "What?" And he said, 4:17, Florida plays at 4:17. I'm out of here at 4:17. And I laughed. But at 4:13, he stood up and left the room, and I covered the hearing by myself.
I, too, am guilty as well. I've stayed home from school just to watch the tourney. Why?
Oh, what a game!
Unbelievable!
What a game!
Maryland, it's always been a basketball school. But the team wasn't good enough this year to qualify for the postseason. Kenny Gartner talked to students to gather their feelings on the abrupt end to the season.
Maryland basketball. Since 2002, this program's postseason hopes have fallen short. In that time period, the Terps have won more than one game in the NCAA tournament just once, and they haven't even qualified for it in some of those seasons. So were students shocked when they found out their basketball team wasn't even headed to the NIT?
You know, I was kind of surprised, but at the same time, it was something I didn't expect, but, you know, I didn't think it was that big of a deal.
I was surprised, but I wasn't shocked because I had read reports prior to Selection Sunday that Maryland was not a lock for the NIT.
Honestly, I didn't really care. While it would have been nice to get some of the younger guys playing time, it just would have been awkward. No one cares about the NIT.
But if they made the NIT, would anyone really take notice?
If we were in the NIT, no one would, if it was a home game, no one would want to go. It'd be just a lackluster atmosphere. And honestly, I'd rather just have the season be over.
And for seniors such as Shane Connolly, it's disappointing attending a basketball school and seeing your team struggle when it comes to the postseason. But Shane holds a more optimistic view.
Well, obviously, everyone wants to experience a national championship. I mean, I would have given anything to have a national championship as a student. But, I mean, you can never expect that. National championship runs are magical, and there's only been one here at the University of Maryland, and few schools have more than one.
Luke Jackson, a sophomore, hopes this is just a blip on the radar screen.
You know, I just thought it was a symbolic of where Maryland is right now with the with their basketball program and how far they have to go to get back to where it was.
Where are they right now? Can you give an overall sense of where that team is?
Yeah, it's tough to say because a lot of the young guys, including Terrell Stoglin, Pishon Howard, Hawk Paulson, showed promise, but you know, you would hope that this is just a one-year thing because of the seniors.
But for sophomore Scott Kornberg, it's a little more concerning.
It's almost like this program is saying, has changed its expectations of saying, okay, let's just get into the tournament instead of saying, okay, you know, let's do some damage. Let's get to at least the Sweet 16.
The Terps will add a couple new recruits to try and bolster their chances next year, hoping for better results on the hardwood next season. Kenny Gartner, Terp Weekly Edition.
Maryland finished the season with a 19-14 record. Not only did the Terps miss the NIT, but they declined to participate in another tournament, the CBI. There you are, you're running for your life. You're a shooting star all the years. No one knows just how hard you worked. But now it's from gamers to features. Traditional newspaper sports writing is transforming to a more internet-friendly format. To tackle the topic, the Philip Merrill College of Journalism hosted its second multimedia speaker series in the month of March. Jason Murphy has the story.
In the second of the three-part March series on multimedia journalism, a panel of respected journalists came to the Eaton Theater to discuss the future of sports journalism in a session titled New Wave Meets Old School.
With Kevin Blackistone at the helm, the panel discussed the, quote, renaissance of journalism that is occurring now with the transition from traditional-style game stories to nonstop sports blogs. With the recent surges in social media use, reporters are constantly looking to find new ways to gather sources and information.
Cindy Boren, Washington Post deputy sports editor, pointed to a new program called Storify, which acts as a social media search engine as a means for journalists to quickly gather information. Boren said that, quote, there is lots of opportunity through social media to do good reporting.
But former Washington Post sports editor and Maryland professor George Solomon thinks otherwise. Solomon said multiple times throughout the session that bloggers who make use of social media, quote, don't have enough standards. Solomon's points did not fall on deaf ears, but the bloggers amongst the panel were quick to point out that not all bloggers have journalistic backgrounds. And finding the best blog isn't necessarily finding the best journalist. But as Kevin Lachlan, Vice President of Editorial Operations for SB Nation, says, it's all about the content.
But that doesn't mean that they'll all come from traditional journalist backgrounds or anything like that. It's really going to be the best content.
Lachlan adds that many blogs are fulfilling certain roles mainstream media is unable to touch upon.
And in some instances, they're able to fill a void that might be missed in major media.
And for the new wave of media consumers, a more simple and direct style might be the trick to attract the most viewers, as Washington Post's Dan Steinberg points out.
One of the great things about like blogging has been it allowed people to write in like a more informal style, a more first-person style, like more what people are used to reading from emails and Facebook, and not in like this kind of artificial newspaper style. So that's what I like about it.
While the new style may be blogs, Boren warned the many students at the discussion to not put themselves in a box and be open to all kinds of journalism. Who knows? Maybe you could be the next Bill Simmons. For Terp Weekly Edition, I'm Jason Murphy.
Stay tuned for the third part of the Multimedia Speaker Series featuring WTOP Radio, which will air in our March 31st show.
Tell us no, nowhere to go. Say we're only dreaming. Oh, no.
Coming up on Terp Weekly Edition, the NFL lockout has plenty of fans up in arms, and Terpthon takes over College Park. You're listening to Terp Weekly Edition on 88.1 FM WMUC. Welcome back to Terp Weekly Edition. Football fans may have to find new shows to watch on Sundays this fall. Tyler Radke has the story on how a labor situation may result in many upset fans.
The National Football League is the most popular sports league in the country, but last week, a lockout on the 2011 season officially began when the owners and players could not agree on a new collective bargaining agreement. The legal mumbo-jumbo was enough to frustrate any fan, but the bottom line is this. Until the two sides can come to an agreement, there is no NFL season this fall. Young fans in particular aren't happy with the process, and many believe it is nothing more than rich owners fighting with rich athletes.
The NFL lockout is a bunch of billionaires fighting millionaires for more money.
I just think it's, as everybody's kind of labeled it, as a group of rich, a group of rich men back and forth arguing about how to split a $9 billion profit.
This whole thing is like there's $9 billion of money that they need to split up between the players, NFLPA and the NFL owners. And the owners want more money because they say like the economy's bad or whatever, and then the players don't want to give them that.
The lockout has been looming over the fans and the league since the season ended, and while it's frustrating everybody, it comes as no surprise to some fans.
I think I expected it midway through the season when I first heard reports surface about it, about how the NFL Players Association and the owners weren't agreeing to terms of really on anything.
But nonetheless, the threat of a missed season because of a dispute over billions of dollars doesn't sit well with anybody.
With the way the world is right now, especially the world economies and most countries just still getting out of recession, and this country still kind of steadily getting out of probably the worst recession we've seen ever since the Great Depression, I think it's just absolutely silly that these owners sit in their chairs and their suits and stuff and just kind of argue about, you know, I want more money, and the players are basically doing the same thing.
And as the two sides continue to negotiate and prepare for court battles, some fans remain optimistic that a season will start on time and we'll have a regular season of football.
That's just like my optimism, I think. I mean, I think that would be so ridiculous and outrageous that they would have to figure something out before they went to missing a whole season.
And while many fans are just hoping for the games to come back, some have their own personal issues with the lockout.
Well, I think that instead of fighting over the large amounts of money, they already have so much money, why don't they make tickets cheaper instead of charging $300 a ticket?
They need to settle this right now so that the Redskins can go to the Super Bowl this season, because we all know that's going to happen.
And whether they have personal goals or not, every fan is anxiously waiting for a resolution and a season to begin on time. For Terp Weekly Edition, I'm Tyler Radke.
The owners and players are continuing negotiations, which will move to the courts in April. Experts believe there is a good chance the season is delayed until late in the year. Why would anyone voluntarily stand on their feet for 12 hours on a Saturday? For Dance Marathon, of course. Kristen Foca went to Terpthon to learn more.
For the kids. This is what University of Maryland students have been saying for the past several weeks as they prepared for our second annual Terpthon that was a great success Saturday. Hundreds of students danced the day away in Ritchie Coliseum, sporting their tribe colors as they set national thon records. In Maryland's thon debut last year, they raised $56,000, the most successful first-year dance marathon ever. With such a great kickoff, expectations for this year were high, and it seems they made the right improvements to further this event.
I did it last year, but they really improved it so much. Last year, nobody really knew what they were getting themselves into. This year, everybody knew what was going on, what we were going to be doing, so it was fun.
Many people returned to help the dance marathon grow. Ethan Wigelis Isaacson went from a dancer in 2010 to the PR street team coordinator in 2011, and he made sure to recruit.
I just think it's like a really good thing to be involved in kids. It's like a, it's a really good thing for the school and for the community just to be a part of. I think me having a role in getting it together helped. So, you know, I kind of forced it on a bunch of people. But yeah, a lot of people that I know are involved and it's gaining popularity.
All of the proceeds go to the Children's National Medical Center in Washington, D.C. The money helps families who can't pay their medical bills. First-time participant Pranay Randid felt connected to the families and children being helped by the cause.
It's really inspirational, actually, to be honest. You think that after so many degrees of separation, you might not be, like, truly touched by it, but you really are after you hear their stories.
So after 12 hours, what were the final numbers? At midnight, organizers announced that Terpthon raised over $139,000, more than any dance marathon nationally has raised in its second or third year. And most dancers plan to come back to Terpthon next year.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be here next year.
For the kids, Kristen Foca, Terp Weekly Edition.
To learn more about Terpthon and how to get involved, visit www.terpthon.org.
I see miracles, miracles, miracles. Because everybody's looking for miracles, miracles, miracles. And a miracle is happening tonight.
Our producer is Emily Jacobs. Our editor, Kristen Foca. Technical production by Kenny Gardner and Tyler Radicky. Assistant producer, Jason Murphy. Our social media editor is Devin Miller. Listen to us online anytime at www.twe.umd.edu. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. I'm Brian Hoffman. Thanks for joining us. You've been listening to Terp Weekly Edition, a presentation of the Philip Merrill College of Journalism at the University of Maryland in cooperation with 88.1 WMUC-FM in College Park.